The reading today is taken from Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11. It's on page 967 of your pew Bibles. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Nathan. Now imagine if you stopped eating today and you didn't eat for 40 days. That would be the 29th of March before you ate again. That's quite a long time, isn't it? Jesus hasn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry, the Bible says. That's got to be an understatement. He was hungry, he was starving, he was famished, and all those words. He's right at the end of the time that it's safe for our bodies to go without food, without some real damage being done. We know that as long as we're drinking, the human body can keep going for probably a maximum of 60 days, but after 30 days, you're likely to be feeling pretty weak. But it's because of Jesus that we think about fasting in these weeks running up to Easter. As we've already seen it, for us it might not be about food that we give up, but something else, like our time on our devices or saying unkind things. Jesus is feeling weak with hunger, and it's now that the devil comes to test him. The devil has a number of different names in our reading, but they are words for one who is God's enemy, who wants to lead Jesus away from the right path. He wants to get him to do the wrong thing, and he also would like to lead us away from Jesus and stop us following Jesus. As we look at this passage, I want to look at what it tells us about Jesus and what it tells us about following Jesus. In the passage that's just gone before, Jesus has been baptized, and an amazing thing happens. A voice from heaven, God speaks and says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God declares that this is his Son, a special person serving God on a special way, in a special way, with a special mission. The question now is, what kind of Son of God is Jesus? Is he going to be? So in the first temptation, Jesus is hungry. The devil tempts him to turn the stones all around him in the desert into bread. If you're the Son of God, surely God doesn't want you to go hungry when you have the power to feed yourself. I've got here some stones and some bread. Whew. Just for us to picture what that was like. In many ways, it's a small thing, isn't it? A few stones into a few bread rolls. Bread is so basic. Surely Jesus has the right to use his powers for such a small thing. Jesus knows he can do it. He could satisfy his hunger there and then. But what kind of Son of God is Jesus going to be? Is he someone who will work wonders and use his powers for himself? But if he did, this would be to go against the mission that God had given him. Jesus came to the earth to take a lowly place to serve others, and in the end, to die on a cross to save us. He would deny this if he used his powers to put himself first. Was he going to take matters into his own hands, or was he going to trust God that God would meet all his needs just at the right time? Jesus knows that bread is important, but other things are important too. Food gives us life. We need it, of course. But other things also give us life. We're only leading half a life if we spend all our time worrying about food and a physical need like exercise. Jesus would rather be hungry than stop walking with God. As followers of Jesus, we are called to trust God for all that we need day by day. For many of us, that's less likely to be about food, but it might be strength to face the day. It might be hope to get us through, a way through our money problems. It might be that he'll give us the friends that we need when we need them. Jesus didn't put himself first, even though he could have. That was not the mission God had for him. It's a reminder that we too are called to serve other people. So here's a question. What could you do this Lent that is purely about serving someone else? Okay, that's the first temptation. The second, I've got a slide for this one. The next way in which the devil tempts Jesus is to take him to Jerusalem and place him on the highest point of the temple. Perhaps he did that literally, perhaps it was just in Jesus' mind's eye. As you're the Son of God, says the devil, why don't you throw yourself down from the top of the temple? Because you know that God won't let you be harmed. He'll send angels to hold you up. The devil is clever here because he suggests that the promise of Psalm 91 means that Jesus could do this and not even stub a toe. Surely, if you're the Son of God, you want everyone to see who you are. You want to be well known for who you are. You want to do something spectacular so that people will be in awe of you and you will have proved to them who you are. People will think you're great. And it would have been spectacular. Now, my bit of quick research suggests, next slide, Hannah, suggests that the highest point of the temple was just a few meters short of Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square. Now imagine if someone threw themselves off the top of Nelson's Column in front of all the people below. And imagine if just as they thought it was going to end in certain death, angels appeared and saved that person and brought them safely down to the ground. It would be on all the news channels that evening. They would instantly be famous. Everyone would think that person was amazing and they must be important. But Jesus knew that this would be to use a spectacular but basically pointless miracle as a way of testing God. He would be putting himself in danger when there was no need to do so, testing God to save him and to prove that he cared for him. Jesus is the Son of God who is not concerned about his reputation, his public image, or trying to control God. He intends to quietly trust his Heavenly Father, a trust that doesn't need to test God, but accepts his will and trusts in his love and protection and care. What about us? We can all too easily care what other people think of us. We want to be seen to be important, a bit like those religious leaders who wanted everybody to know that they were fasting. Perhaps we want to be popular, in with the right crowd, be well known and an important person in other people's eyes. That could become more important than following Jesus. We might want to tell God what he should be doing in our lives rather than quietly trusting in him, our Heavenly Father. So what could you do this Lent that is not about wanting to boost your own reputation or being seen by others or being popular, but is about quietly following Jesus and trusting him? Thirdly, finally, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their splendor. All this, the devil says, I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. The test here is whether Jesus is going to be the kind of Son of God who will take for himself all the kingdoms of the world and want this power and this glory so much that it doesn't matter how he gets it. It's the temptation to give up on his Heavenly Father and to worship the devil as a way to this power and this glory. We too can get caught up in building our own empire, in being successful, that we all too easily compromise on the things that matter more. We might think that where we're heading is more important than how we get there. We might want to lead a team, and we're unkind to others in order to get there. We might want to get a good mark in that project and think that a bit of copying of someone else's work doesn't really matter. We might find that our wish to get further and further in our career means that we spend less time with our family and have no time for church. So what could you do this Lent that is about putting Jesus first and living your life for him? For Jesus, the devil was offering him a shortcut to power and glory that did not involve the suffering of death on a cross. But Jesus stuck to that path. How can we make sure that we're not taken away from following Jesus? This event in Jesus' life reminds us that we need to keep our eyes on God and trust him for everything. He is our loving Heavenly Father and knows all that we need. It also reminds us that we're called to bring God's light into the world at home, at school, at work, in our communities. And we must say no to voices that would lead us to darkness. And finally, and most importantly, this event in Jesus' life tells us that we must feed ourselves with the Bible. That was the only way Jesus was able to stand firm. Did you notice that each time Jesus used the Bible as his weapon to have the strength to stand up to the devil's wicked plans? He said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. If Jesus needed to know the scriptures, how much more do we? What could you do this Lent that will mean you spend more time reading the Bible? That's where fasting and giving something up can sometimes come in, because the time you would spend scrolling the internet is time you could spend reading God's word. This passage helps us to see what it means that Jesus is the Son of God. We follow a wonderful Son of God who was on a special rescue mission to offer his life for us, and he was not distracted from it. He did not use his power for himself. He lived his life trusting in God the Father, and he refused to stray from the path of servanthood that would lead to suffering and death on a cross. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it is alive and speaks to us today, and we pray that you would help us to spend more time in your word and build up our strength as your followers because of that. Thank you, Jesus, for standing up to all the temptations to lay aside what it truly meant to be the Son of God. We thank you so much that you stuck to that path and you were not sidetracked. And we thank you for the cross that brings us our freedom. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.